Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.
If you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 16. As I said, we're starting a new series. I think we're going to go 4 or 5 weeks on this series. I'm going to get kind of specific. And here's the thing. I'll get more into this in a minute, but I am absolutely convinced that miracles are not a special form of Christianity. They are not reserved for a denomination, but they are the ancient path of Christianity that we have strayed away from. And I hope this morning to convince you of that. I often, you know, hear about miracles, and I'll sit down with people and go, well, I hear about it in other countries, and well, I heard about this one person that had this once happen, or we reserve it for the people on stage and all that sort of stuff. But I am convinced that the supernatural life of ongoing miracles is the life of a normal Christian believer. And once again, we create all of these ideas about this, like, how elite and how amazing and oh, and we put people on this like platform when they walk in the miraculous. And I love that people on platforms walk in the miraculous, but it's meant to inspire you to walk in the miraculous. Not for you to come and receive it, but for you to walk in it. And I believe that we need to return back to normal Christianity, not this weird, toxic, powerless Christianity that we've become so accustomed to. Anybody all right with that? And as I said, right before we took that break, is we celebrated the death, we celebrated the resurrection, but now it's time to celebrate the beginning of the church, the foundation of the church, that what took place after the resurrection. Jesus came out of the grave, not just to pose for a picture that we would look at for eternity and go, oh, there he is resurrected. I got a tattoo right here, actually, of resurrected Jesus, right? And that wasn't the point of why he came out of the grave. He didn't just pose and go, now everyone take a picture because I'm about to go up into heaven. He came out on assignment, right? Jesus emerged out of the grave and began to appear to the disciples with a message to mobilize them for the purpose of building the church that would advance the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. I think it was Peter that said, Jesus, don't go. We don't want you to go. And he says, Peter, it's better for you that I go. Because if I don't go, then I cannot send the helper, the Holy Spirit, to you. Jesus literally said, it's better that I give you the Holy Spirit than I walk as a limited man. Let me go to heaven and give you the Holy Spirit, that he would be deposited. The same Spirit that is in me will be deposited inside of you, so there will not just be one Jesus in limited human fashion walking the earth, but many Christ-like people would walk the earth in the same power that I walked in. And Jesus appeared in Matthew chapter 16 after his resurrection. And in verse 14, he appeared to his disciples. It says he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those he had seen after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Everyone say believe. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They'll speak in tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly. And it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, what I find interesting is Jesus says, go out and preach the gospel, and everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Okay, so belief is connected to salvation. Are we all in agreement on that? So is it equally as connected, the same sign of belief as salvation, is the same sign of belief miracles? Because Jesus said so. The same manner in which he said, believe and you'll be saved, is the same manner as believe, and these are the signs that will follow those who believe. Guys, I don't mean to just be scandalous and abrasive, but if these signs are these are the signs that follow those who believe, I'm starting to wonder if anybody believes anymore. Because if these are the signs that follow the people that believe, where are the signs following my life? Listen, I'm going to try so hard to not be confrontational this morning. But I feel like you kind of have to if we're going to bring reform and change to the very institution that we've become accustomed to. And so understand, I'm not mad at you. I'm upset about the system, okay? I'm going to liken it to this. As a pastor, I sit with a lot of married couples, right? And I'm not talking about any certain, if I've sat with you, this is not about you. This is about, you know, 12 years of senior ministry and counseling people. And it's a very normal, it's so much of a normal situation. We write books on it. We have seminars on this stuff. But there's often this thing that happens that a couple that have been married for a while will sit in front of me and they're not in love anymore. And we have people that have made vows to each other, that were madly in love with each other, that were wildly devoted, and they came in with these dreams and passions that were all birthed out of love for one another. And now they're sitting in front of me and they don't love each other anymore. And here's the question. How did we get here? How did we get here? How did we go from I love you, look at the amazing things we're going to do together, to I don't love this person anymore, and I don't know if I can be committed here anymore. How did we get here? And it's the same story every time. You ready? The story always goes like this. He said this. She said this. I thought this. This thing happened. And you know what? We can't fix any of those things that he said or she said. The only thing we can do is fight for love again, right? The story is, every single time, is somewhere along the journey, the brokenness of these two individuals became such a glaring hindrance to love that love could not coexist with the awareness of their lack. One had to give, either love or disappointment had to win in the situation. Listen. Every time it's two broken people that are in love have not been fully exposed to the brokenness of each other yet. And the moment it comes up more and more and more and more, all of a sudden the awareness, how many of you guys know it's hard to love somebody that you keep seeing that they kind of stink? I had multiple words going through my head and chose that one. Right? And it's really hard going, you keep showing me that you stink so much that it's literally love and disappointment can't coexist. And all of a sudden, repeated stuff starts, disappointment starts pushing it out. And now love is no longer in the room. It's only disappointment. Where did the love go? How did we get here? From a series of events of disappointment, right? Well, now sometimes I read the Bible and I read the story of the creator of the heavens and the earth creating man supernaturally out of dust and breathing life into him, pulling a rib from his side and giving birth to woman, and then supernaturally walking them through their season of wandering and shame and supernaturally appearing over and over and over and over again. A story that you pick a page and something supernatural will be in it. Pick a story and something supernatural will be in it. There is not an individual that we idolize in the Bible and we look to and we preach from their life. There's not a single person that something supernatural didn't happen to them. And then God in the third heaven sitting on a throne becomes a man. He leaves a supernatural spiritual dimension of heaven with like man eagle oxen things flying around. Read the story, it's weird, right? Sea of glass, sounds that don't even make sense, rushing waters and trumpets and multitudes of singing all at once. And they're all worshiping before him, and he leaves the throne and becomes a man. And Lucifer appears from the desert. He turns water into wine. He walks on water. I mean, think about the moment where he stands on the mountain of transfiguration and literally two Old Testament figures come out and are standing there with him. Guys, it's a wild supernatural story. And he's put on the cross and he dies for our sins. And the third day, those angels, we're talking about spiritual beings, angels right now, roll the stone away and Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He raises the dead. He's raised himself. It begins to appear to all the disciples, right? And not only that, but if you read in Matthew, there's like this two-sentence story in Matthew that you'll always skip over, but it's flipping weird. It says that after Jesus was raised from the dead, all of a sudden, the old saints started appearing all over the city. Dead people started showing up. They're literally like checking graves and stuff, checking to see if like Moses, you still there? Because he's appearing all over the city talking about Jesus. I mean, Jesus walks through walls. Jesus appears to the guys on the road to Emmaus, sits down and eats and goes, I am him. And then all of a sudden disappears in the room. Right? Then he tells the disciples to wait. And they wait. And then all of a sudden, a wind starts blowing in a room. I've been in that room. And wind doesn't blow in that room. Wind starts blowing in the room. Tongues of fire start appearing to their head. They start getting like this like little look like they're drunk. Start talking in languages they've never heard before. Come out on the portico. Start preaching the gospel. And 3,000 people get saved in an instant. Well, these guys preaching a language they've never learned before. I'm reading the story of the Bible. And then I look at the church today and go, how did we get here? Same question I ask married couples, same question I'm asking church. How did we get here? How is it now that I talk about someone's leg getting, you know, growing out, or I start talking about someone with years of pain getting completely healed? I talk about someone in our church just a few weeks ago lifting their hands in worship and it grows out and pain leaves for the first time in years. Last Sunday, they're showing me, they're whipping their arm around. They haven't done that in years. I start talking about that like, hey, isn't God so good? And people are like deer in headlights. What? Like, how did we get here? How is that weird to you? You read the Bible. How did we get here? Well, the story looks like this. And along the journey of the church, the brokenness of man, the fallen nature of mankind, the tension of believing in the impossible, the church often wavered. Faith could not coexist with the awareness of our lack, and one of them had to give. Faith or disappointment are hanging out in the same room. One's got to give way to the other. Is faith going to overcome our disappointment? But guess what comes in, just like even in our relationships, what comes in when disappointment starts pushing out faith? Disappointment is masked with excuses. We start excusing why he can't, why he won't, what maybe why he's not. And all of a sudden, we start excusing God. And you know what the danger of that is? In your relationship, what is the danger of it is you are self-sabotaging by making yourself unable to love again. But the danger of the church is we start excusing God and we're creating new theology. And the danger is now, how did we get here? Now we're a humanistic social club when we were called to be a supernatural, miraculous church that was meant to advance the gospel. Now we're a humanistic social club. How did we get here? We created false theology. Clearly, I'm on a warpath. Because I'm angry. Because you know why I'm angry? In 2 Timothy 3:1, I don't know if we have it. You guys can read it with me. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. How many of you guys know we are in last days? I don't know. We could be in the last days for another 1,000 years. I don't know. But we're in them. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at this, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. False theology is a demonic assignment to hinder the church from stepping into its destiny. And the destiny is that the signs of miracles are meant to follow your life. They're meant to follow your life. And there's a demon that has walked through the door of disappointment and spoken lies to the church to excuse the lack of power, and all of a sudden the excuse of lack of power becomes a denial of the power, and before you know it, we are becoming this humanistic social club that is trying to basically be a glorified YMCA in the earth, and we're not expecting or putting a demand on miracles. Am I denying the role of the church to meet the humanitarian needs of the world? Absolutely not. Are you kidding? Of course not. But you better believe that with one hand I will feed the poor, and with the other hand I will heal the sick. They are not in opposition. They're always meant to be partnered. You guys all right? We've created this idea that miracles only happen in other countries or special people with high callings. We easily slip into the patterns of disappointment that excuse the role of miracles in our walk with Jesus. The miracles are a form of special Christianity, but I'm here to say that miracles are normal Christianity. And we need to rip the lies off like a Band-Aid and rip it off of our lives and begin to put an expectation and a demand that miracles are not weird, they're not Pentecostal, and they're not charismatic, they are Christian. The lack of miracles is not a denomination, nor is the presence of miracle a denomination. They are the presence of Jesus, the miracle worker. We got to stop dividing it for a certain group of people and start putting an expectation that this is Christianity. I hear the voice of the Lord. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. When I get around demons, they run in the presence of God on my life. I can speak to the clouds and they will stop raining. You know, like, we need to begin to expect that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. In Mark, it says those that believe and are baptized are saved, and that these are the signs of the life of a believer. They cast out devils, they speak in tongues, they shall take up serpents, they drink any deadly thing and they will not hurt them, they lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The question is, like, how did we get here? If you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, and this, just to further my point, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussions of elementary principles of Christ, everyone say elementary. That's talking about, like, babies, kids, the things that our kids downstairs should be learning, right? And they are. So cool. They are laying hands. Like, you're like, oh my God, I don't see it in my life. Your kids probably are right now laying hands on each other and seeing the sick recover and hearing the voice of the Lord. Therefore, leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Whoa, wait, what? Laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead are elementary principles of Christ. He's like, let's move on. We're like trying to go back. Like, can we start over? And this we will do if God permits. These are not just levels of Christianity that some elite group will obtain. These are the foundations of the life of every believer. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead. When I talk about miracles or hearing the voice of God, people look at me like a deer in headlights. I see too many thoughts, doubts, he said, she said, this happened to me going through their head, and I'm not concerned
with what you've experienced. I'm only concerned with what the Bible says. You know, one of the things that's so hard as a counselor, like in marriages, is that when I go, but do you love each other? Well, all the stories. And I go, I understand. We can't fix all those things today. But do you love? Because we do have to go back to the foundations. And the foundation is that you love each other. And you're not going to be able to accomplish anything or find a common ground or heal from your pain if you can't get back to that simple statement is, I love you. And begin there, not end there. How many of you guys know that we have often put signs, wonders, and miracles as a thing we're trying to obtain and working our way to some level of perfection to get there? But the reality is that we get to just walk in miracles because we believe. So what do we have to do? If we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles in the church, what do we have to get back to? Believing. We have to get back to believing. We have to get back to the foundation. We have to get back to the root. We have to go back to the ancient path. And we've got to actually push past the he said, she said, this thing happened. Guys, listen, I am done talking about men of God who did it wrong. I'm looking past them, and I'm looking to the Bible, and it says, these signs follow those who believe. I'm not thinking about some weird church in North Carolina handling snakes right now. I'm not thinking about somebody who made a lot of money faking it. I'm not talking about the guy that had the earpiece in his ear with someone in a back room telling secrets in the crowd. He's calling him out. I'm not talking about that anymore. I'm done talking about the he said, she said. I've got to get back to the simple statement of belief. People have messed up. People have made mistakes. People have put too many golden chairs on altars and sat on them. People have glorified too many men, made too much money, all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about it anymore because my disappointment can't hang out with my faith. I've got to look past it. Because I'm not going to get anywhere excusing the behaviors of fallen people. I've got to only look to the word and get back to the purity and the foundations of the word of God. I'm not talking about any more weird theology. I'm going back to the Bible. These signs follow those who believe. If I say, Paul said to you that I desire that you all would prophesy. Pursue all of the gifts, especially that you would prophesy. And you might go, yeah, but I was in church once and this. I'm not talking about that anymore. Is that all right? I only want to talk about the Bible with you. I only want to talk about the Bible from this pulpit. I only want to talk about what the Word of God says. I'm not trying to follow a denominational pattern today. I'm not trying to fix any church history. I'm trying to go back to the foundations. I love you, I believe in you, and these signs follow those who believe. Over the next few weeks, we're gonna talk about the miraculous. And because I believe when you talk about it, it starts to happen. I believe that when we talk about it, we start shaping the framework of our lives. I want to, from this pulpit, create conversations in your homes. I want to start putting a bug in your ear that when you start facing impossibilities, you start thinking about the miraculous potential of the life of a believer. I want to start creating conversations in our church that begins to put a demand on heaven to start showing up. I want that when sickness starts showing up around us, as this expectation goes, I heal the sick. I want to start talking about when impossible relational situations come up, that God softens hardened hearts. He showed up on the road to and changed Saul to Paul. Scales fell from his eyes. He turned his heart. I want to go back to the stories of and let my heart be tender again to miracles and faith and expectation. To the point where we start putting demands like God can do miraculous things. Impossibility is literally just bait for God to move. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, very truly, how many of you guys know that he is not joking around right now? Very truly, I tell you, Whoever believes, whoever does what? Heard that again. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Guys, how did we get here? Look at what Jesus just said to us. Because I'm going. Not it ends with me. Because I'm going, I'm going to send you the helper, and you'll do greater things than I did. The determining factor of the miraculous is belief. The problem is we've been pushing belief out and not shaping a framework of belief that welcomes the miraculous. And that's what we want to do. I want to talk about hearing the voice of the Lord over the next couple weeks. Because what I want to do is I want to push out mystery. And I want to talk about it in a way that we understand that all the ways that we've seen it or seen it walked out before is far less mysterious than what we get to walk out every single day. I want to talk about the practicality of praying for the sick. I want to talk about stories. I want to boost your faith. I want to talk about the foundations of healing. I want to shape a framework of theology around healing. I want to talk about the prophetic, hearing the voice of God. I want to make that big word prophetic not scary anymore. Okay? I want to get rid of some church culture that's like that has built a throne to some certain offices of the church, and I want to start talking about the very regular activity of the prophetic in a community in the life of believers and bring it back to normal Christianity. Could you imagine if the people of your city started seeing Christianity no longer as a political affiliation, but as a miracle-working people group? What if the reputation began to follow the believers that if they were sick, bring them onto the streets because the Christians are walking by? Because that was the reputation of the early church. Could you imagine? Bring out your dead. I know a group of people in a town in Washington who believed this, and they had never seen anybody raised from the dead, right? But they just began to pray, and they felt like the Lord said, start a dead-raising team. They literally registered it with the town. They'd never seen it, but they wanted to put a demand on expectation. And they asked the town that if anybody died, that their name would be offered to the family to come and pray for their deceased. And all of a sudden, they would start showing up with the ambulances at sites just to offer their services. Not aggressively, but because all the town started working with them. Guys, they saw people raised from the dead. I'm not messing with you. And see the deer in headlights. We're gonna get rid of the deer in headlights over the next couple weeks, okay? That's what we're gonna work past. All those doubts, that's the he said, she said stuff. We're gonna work past all that. This is gonna be pastoral counseling. I will be your counselor over the next few weeks. We're going to heal from the PTSD of bad theology and religion. We're going to do some inner child therapy, some cognitive therapy here. I'm just kidding. But by the end of it, I'm going to go, yeah, they raised the dead. You're going to go, yeah, me too. Do it now, Lord. Okay. You guys all right? Are you excited for this series? Yeah. Stand with me. What if we started a healing rooms and our local physicians, after doing very good doctoral work and offering medication and all his plans, said, hey, why don't you go sit for 2 hours at Kingdom Life Church? They have teams there that pray for the sick. What if the reputation of your beliefs started following you? Because the signs follow those who believe. Right now, the world does not expect it from the church because those signs don't follow those who believe. And why don't the signs not follow those who believe? Because Jesus said, whoever believes will do greater things than I do. So if we want the signs to follow those who believe, we better start believing. We better start expecting. We better start creating a framework, not to be weird, but just to be Christians, to have a normal relationship with God that expects the God who sat on the throne and became man would keep coming out of the throne room and keep invading our human existence. Guys, the idea of the supernatural becoming physically measurable is the core theme of the gospel. God became man. Every time God says, I want to heal the sick, every time I lay hands on the sick and they recover, or anybody in this room, we take teams down to Salem, we do it on the streets, we do our faith nights. These guys, we'll have them share some testimonies soon, hearing the voice of the Lord, words of knowledge, finding people in the streets that they had no idea were gonna be there, doing it just this week. That kind of stuff, that is the gospel. God coming out of the heavenly realm and becoming measurable in this human existence, becoming experiential, is the gospel. Not just talking about it, not just sharing the good news, but demonstrating it. Paul said, I not come with wise and persuasive speech, the demonstrations of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of the things that we don't see. These signs have to follow the church. We have a belief problem. So come on, would you just right now, would you just do